Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 12:30. The bear is in the building. It's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Our first guests will fall into the last category, local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. I've got baseball legend Brett Saberhagen and his wife Candace Saberhagen, and they're here to talk about their charity events and their charity efforts called Sabes Wings, which is financial support for cancer patients. We'll discuss the monetary and emotional consequences of medical financial toxicity on patients and families, how Sabes Wings works with and helps cancer patients. And I think you went up to 28 states since the last time I saw you're counting since we talked last week. So you're expanding your horizons, and then upcoming events and ways you can assist Brett and Candace. So Brett and Candace, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thanks for having us, Barry. We're happy to be here. We're
happy to have you. And also in studio, but he refuses to talk, is my good friend and show sponsor, Dave Belmont of Adler Belmont Group. And we'll see if we can drag him to the microphone.
One of our board members, him and his wife, Cindy.
That's right. Absolutely the case. It's your job to just drag him to the microphone when I say, get him. All right. Folks, you can call. Oh, and then at 1 o'clock, we have another local treasure, Danny Morgan of Paso Tile and Stone. We're going to talk about his rags-to-riches story and how he's bootstrapped himself to success. He's a local business. I want to get a local business owner's view of Slo County private economic development. And then he's also got a new project called Innova Global Fund, which is micro-lending in, of all places, Kenya and around the world. Wow. It's a very interesting topic. So, folks, you can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So let's start with you, Brett. What have you been doing since you got off the diamond?
Well, I truly believe that God gave me the gift to throw a baseball, to give me that platform to do what we're doing now, and that Sabes Wings. And it was created, I had a nonprofit geared towards the kids, and it was called the Brett Saberhagen Make a Difference Foundation. After 2008 came around and the economy went south, I had a tough time asking. I still have a tough time asking for money. We shouldn't be in the nonprofit, because Candace and I both look at each other. It's like, people ask, what do you need? It's like, money. But never, we're always afraid to ask. So the nonprofit was kind of dormant since 2008. Candace and I, got married in 2019. She was diagnosed just before that with her third diagnosis of breast cancer. And with that being said, the normal treatment, the chemo and that didn't work. So we did alternative drugs, which didn't work. And we had to do alternative medication, which fortunately for us, it worked. But it was about $22,000 a month. So Candace did a deep dive during COVID trying to figure out how families are actually affording their treatments and that. And come to find out, people are skipping treatments, not doing treatments, just because they don't want to. It's in the term medical financial toxicity is a true thing out there, that people are struggling and keeping loved ones alive, mortgaging things to the hilt. But the Sabes Wings comes from, and Candace came up with this, the name of our nonprofit. It's my nickname is Sabes, and it's those wings that lift people up. And the one time that she recalls, the first time she recalls me really being a backbone for her while she was going through her treatments is when she was on the shower floor with a clump of hair, couldn't get up, and handing me the hair and having me help her get up and back into bed. And so we've seen it firsthand what cancer does to each and every person when they are diagnosed with it is traumatizing, not knowing whether you're going to live, what the outcome is going to be, a lot of questions. Sometimes you don't get enough answers. But then you go to on top of that, you go, okay, how am I going to afford the treatments that we need? And there's multiple, and Candace can go into this, about how many different ways people are really struggling financially. It's not just a straight narrow line where this is the way it is. It's all types of life, walks of life. And it's been great for us being in the Central Coast, helping so many people in and around the Central Coast. And that's kind of where Saves Wings has been based in our big gala, which we'll get to in a little bit. But we feel blessed. And I really truly believe that throwing a baseball was God's gift of me kind of doing what we're doing now.
That's very, very cool. And Candace, what did you do before you got married to Brett? And I saw something about you were in medical technology or something.
Yeah, I was in the medical industry, doing more regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy research, R&D. So I owned my own companies. We took in high-end, high-impact athletes who had been injured on the gridiron for long periods of time in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And then instead of doing invasive procedures like a hip replacement or a knee replacement or a spine, we actually went in and did injections utilizing either autologous-derived stem cell therapy, which means from you, autologous from you, or a chorion tissue product, which comes from the umbilical cord. And then we were able to chart 12,000 patients worth of data on what was the most efficacious results that we could deem from that. So I had a long history in medical before medical financial toxicity really came into my life. And the oddity of it is my programs were all cash pay. So I was asking patients to pay thousands of dollars for treatments that were not recognized under any type of insurance and turn around, and it kind of slaps me in the face. And then I was hit with alternative care, which is why you do the research. Now we've deemed that it is efficacious, all of those treatments that I was doing. And in hindsight, the medication that I was actually on for breast cancer was designed for ovarian cancer with a BRCA1 genealogy positive test. I had breast cancer with a BRCA1 positive test, but it was not actually allowed for me at that time. But as our great doctor here in the Central Coast, Dr. Brian DiCarlo, said, it is now because you did the research.
That's great. That's really, it's good. And it's good that you're a survivor.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the symptoms of medical financial trauma.
Oh, gosh. There's so many.
Yeah, let's start at the top.
Here's the astounding statistic. 80% of our patients are fully insured. And so we're not looking at a demographic of underpoverished individuals who do not have the amenities to put life together adequately. We're looking at individuals just like you and me who have done everything right, and this one diagnosis just knocked them off that block and set them back significantly. So anybody who is not able to make a house payment, a utility payment, not making a deductible for insurance or insurance, this is the big one, the one that bothers me the most. Insurance providers who deny a PET scan to a patient when an oncologist has deemed it appropriate. And it happens all the time.
Right.
Even when the oncologist goes to a peer-to-peer, which some of the greatest spend hours on the phone doing these peer-to-peers.
What's a peer-to-peer?
Peer-to-peer is a meeting that the oncologist goes into with the insurance company. The insurance company has an expert, typically probably something of an MD caliber, but maybe not an oncology degree. And it is that person's advocating for the insurance company and saving dollars on that side, whereas the oncologist is advocating for the patient and giving his worthiness of what the patient needs. So we're allowing the insurance company to dictate what the patient actually receives.
Kind of like the Grand Inquisition.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's the material aspect of this. I mean, and of course the weight of the whole thing.
Oh, think about this. Yeah. You have a cancer diagnosis. You call up Brett. Hey, Brett, our good friend was just diagnosed with prostate cancer. He's told he has prostate cancer. You're going through all what you need to do medically. You're not even thinking about how it's going to impact you financially. You're not thinking about the time that you're needing to take off of work. You're not taking into consideration the time your wife or your spouse or your caretaker is going to need to take off of work.
Self-employed. You can just go up and down the list of of things that that you're not able to do when you come down with cancer. At first, it seemed like a lot of single parents that were in need, and now it kind of comes and goes in cycles. And the one thing that I want to specify is it's not just breast cancer; it's any type of cancer. That's mm-hmm. where the people that we're helping. One of our things we say is cancer doesn't discriminate, and we don't discriminate on who we help out there.
Yeah. So,
and like you said, we've spread our wings pretty widely in the first 5.5 years. We started this up in 2021, and this is going to be our sixth annual gala in October, but it's great. I'm not sure if it's 28. I know it's definitely 27 states we've helped.
28.
28 now?
It says 28 on the website.
That's a new one for me. Yeah, I know Hawaii was just added to that.
So, we added one on the East Coast last week.
That's amazing. Uh-huh. So very cool. We hope to be out of business, but we hope to hit all 50 states. And it's there's such a need out there.
Yes.
And like we talk about, it's not just the lower class incomes. It's the middle class. It's people that really need that extra help, and it depends on the situation that they're going through.
Talk about the psychological distress that this causes on the patient and families.
We actually had an individual who came to us not too long ago. If you want to talk really about the psychological reform that happens. And she had an aunt who chose not to go through treatment because she knew that it was going to encumber too much cost. Hmm. So she chose to die instead, and she did. Mm-hmm. And so that in itself, I mean, when you're choosing to not put your family under stress, financial stress, versus salvaging your life to be here for your family, I think that speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. Just huge amount of stress that goes into it. For me, I can speak personally to it. Brett and I were first married, so I had a really hard time coming to him and saying, I need help. And I was very self-sufficient. I had always done things on my own. So it was difficult for me to actually lay all that down and say, I don't think I can make it past 6 months. I'm going to be out of funds at this point in time. And I think for the majority of people out there, it is difficult to ask for help. And so that in itself causes a psychological barrier where they're sitting there thinking, do I do this application? I can handle this myself. But really, that's why organizations like ours exist. Mm-hmm. We're here. We want to be there for the patient. We want to make sure that they don't see any negative impact and be able to just concentrate on getting better, on healing, on going through the treatment without all of the constraints of the cost.
Yeah.
And it's funny that there is a lot of pride with a lot of people where they don't want to ask for help. And in particular, more male than female. Yeah. But there are a lot of women out there that have a lot of pride that don't want to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And it's something where, at times, you just have to say, hey, there's a lot of people that'll put out GoFundMes and that to help out families. And we do another program. We have multiple programs inside what our grant process is. Mm-hmm. We do a thing at Christmas time. We do a thing with one of Kendall Gottfried, which is very close to Dave. We do a scholarship in her name now. Mm. What is the Hope with Wings?
Hope Without Limits.
Hope Without Limits, yep. Which, go ahead.
It coincides with the same concept as a GoFundMe,
mm-hmm.
but we and I eliminate the fees. Mm-hmm. So a GoFundMe would take up to 8% of mm-hmm. everybody who's donating, and it's not a tax write-off. And so we took it to a different extent and said, hey, we'll take it under our 501c3, and everything that comes in will be a tax write-off. And we'll give the individual, the donor who's donating the money, the mm-hmm. opportunity to cover the fees themselves, which most of them do. And then more money goes into mm-hmm. the pocket of the patients. We take 4 patients per quarter who can do their own type of campaign like that. We had a young gentleman who had 4 children on the brink of losing his homestead.
Wow.
And he was able to fundraise through our Hope Without Limits and take him out of that bankruptcy sector. Mm-hmm. I mean, the house had been in his family for years,
wow.
dating back to the 1900s, and it was actually paid off. Mm-hmm. He took a mortgage out for treatment. Stage four, very late stage. He's still with us, and the family home has been salvaged.
Talk a little bit about, we're going to be going into break here in about 3 minutes. So we got to take your time. One of the things that I think we talked about it last week that I deal with in my area of insurance is the stress on the caregivers. So from your perspective, you were here. Usually it's the other way around in my business. It's the wife taking care of the husband, right? But in this case, to talk from tell us about what this did to you, Brett, from a caregiver perspective.
Well, I was all in. She came to Chicago to break up with me in 2018 when she was diagnosed for the third time. She didn't want me going through all of the things that she knew was going to happen and that. And the next day, after a lot of tears that night at dinner at Luminati's in Chicago, I think a lot of people were
big spender. Brett,
yeah, I know.
That.
I love their pizza. It's we had a nice dinner there, but people were probably looking at me going, "Wow, he's I don't know what's going on with him, but he's crying an awful
having
lot
a mental
tonight."
Breakdown a mental breakdown at the bar.
But the next day, we went for coffee, as Candace likes to tell the story. We passed Starbucks and you name it, every type of coffee. And she says, "Where's this mythical coffee shop?" End up going to the Diamond District and picking out a ring, and right there, and got down on a knee and proposed to her. And ever since then, we've been attached at the hip, changing lives and doing some great things. But the caregiving, I think it's probably a lot easier as the caregiver. Mm-hmm. It's about being positive. I've been on some great baseball teams. Been a part of a lot of teams, and you know, we became a team. And you know, my job is to lift that other person up, which was Candace, in more ways than one, and really not have her be negative and try to stay positive even when there was no positivity available in given days and that. So it's a tough task, but between doing a lot of things that she liked to do, we'd go out on the boat at Lake Nacimiento and have nice days there. I took the recliner and put it out back out so she can get some sunshine and enjoy the backyard view and stuff, just you know, make sure that she had gum while she was going through her treatment, because it tasted metallic.
Yeah. Always. You know, a lot of people didn't realize that was during COVID. Mm-hmm. So I saw nobody. I never went inside of a grocery store. I was in complete isolation. Mm. So Brett was my sole caretaker, other than a nurse who would come in every 3 weeks. And, you know, he's the wings. He's the wings part of Sabes Wings. He's the Sabes and the wings. He lifted me up when I needed it. I had fresh roses on the table when I would wake up from a nap. It was just, he was a tremendous caretaker. I know there was a lot of stress on him, but he never once showed it.
Yeah. Real quickly, tell us a little bit about the work you're doing with UCLA and Dr. DiCarlo.
Sure. So we have the Lift Hope Tumor Board with Dr. DiCarlo. Basically, what we do is we get together and identify cases that would be of good resource for us for research, mm-hmm. so that we can take that case, put it into the bill that we've written for Congress, and said, this is why we're trying to pass X amount. Mm-hmm. And so basically, one of the things that you and I discussed last week that I wanted to hone in on, and what I've already discussed today, is eliminating the opportunity for insurance companies to deny a claim.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it shouldn't be in their pocket to begin with. And so we're trying to gather as much data as possible so that we can showcase that, okay. to our congressmen and say, this needs to change.
Great. When we return, folks, we're going to talk about the grant process a little bit and then the upcoming event. It's coming in October, correct?
Correct.
All right. So, folks, stand by. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Brett and Candace Saberhagen from Sabes Wings. It helps people with their medical, financial toxicity and fundraising. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff we want to wrap up it with here before the end of the show. 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Candace, give us a high level of the grant process.
Absolutely.
How does that roll?
So our grants are open for a portion of every single month on a 9-month cycle. So our grants are actually being closed for the next 3 months so we can gear up for our big fundraiser. www.sabeswings.org has our application process on there. It's pretty simple. You go in, you complete it. As long as you complete the application, mm-hmm. it then goes to the second tier, which is a personal audit mm-hmm. through our executive director and her team. And you do need to be an active cancer patient, so an mm-hmm. active diagnosis, and you have to show that you have medical financial toxicity. So where's the bleed? Is it with utilities? Is it with housing? Is it with medical? And those are three separate grants that you can apply for. It's not guaranteed. And not the full portion that you're asking for is guaranteed, but we're here to eliminate as much as we possibly can. And I say that because we do have lots of individuals who go on and will apply for multiple grants throughout our system and then have the expectation that they're going to get all of them. But we audit them and triage with the highest priority of the greatest need. If an individual's coming in on the brink of losing their home, we're going to try to salvage the home. We've done it with a vehicle. We don't do vehicles anymore, but we've definitely kept a car out of hock before. It's just those small things that really make a big difference in your day-to-day life that people don't realize and take for granted.
And do, I mean, you have an all-star board of who's who.
We do.
Do some of them get involved in the grant process and all that?
Yes, we do have a separate grant committee. So if it has to go to a second level where our executive director is also named Candace, where Candace has to pull mm-hmm. in two or three board members to make a decision, she'll do that. It's typically with some of the female board members because they're a little bit more empathetic mm-hmm. and we want them to really hone in on the story.
Okay.
And that's where that we would gather that from.
Great. All right, so why don't you take a few minutes here and unpack the October 10th and 11th event and program and the whole nine yards.
We definitely do it upright. My husband has an expectation that he sets for us every single year. We always try to exceed it. I don't think we do.
We throw a good party.
We do, but we all do it in the name of a good cause. And mm-hmm. so Saturday, October 10th, our gala starts at 4 p.m. at Rava. We have music coming in out of Nashville. We have a lot of surprises that will be happening that night. Plus, we get to showcase some of our local patients. So if you want to support a local patient who's been helped through us, please come on down and do that. Tickets are available online. Sunday is also...
Hold on, before you go into Sunday, I think the big reason that we like to change things up each year is because when people come into events... They first off, they know that, hey, this is a fundraiser. This is, we're trying to raise money in that. And if you're going to the same thing each year and seeing the same things right. each year, it's going to be boring. So mm-hmm. each year we add something. Like last year, she added a flash mob right before, I get choked up about this, right before the cancer patients were introduced that were in the audience. And they had came down on a red carpet, everybody standing up. It was amazing. So
electrifying.
We change things up each and every year, and this is another one of those years that you're not going to want to miss. So we've got some cool things going. So, and then go ahead on Sunday.
That's true. I'm glad you interrupted. That was great. Sunday we do our golf tournament at Hunter Ranch. And adjacent to that, running at the same exact time, is our fashion show for significant others who may not want to golf. It's actually hosted by Kim Alexis, supermodel out of the 1980s and 1990s.
She's been in more Sports Illustrated than I have. I'm a little jealous of her.
I would be.
Also, the mixology class is going on that day for the significant others. And the reason why we do that, and go ahead, because...
I've gone to so many tournaments with Brett. And 9 times out of 10, I'm sitting in the hotel room during a tournament, twiddling my thumbs or doing work. And I really wanted to bring in everybody who was traveling to us and say, hey, let's get together. And it also helps increase the funds that we receive that mm-hmm. during that time. So as many opportunities as we can possibly open up for just that and to highlight our patients. So our patients are actually our models at the fashion mm-hmm. show. And that makes it so rewarding.
Yeah.
They get to dress
wow.
up, do their hair, do their makeup, feel human again. And just in that, just giving them that sense of humanity, it makes my heart warm.
Do you have a fundraising goal when you start each year? I mean, kind of like, this is what we want to raise?
Yeah.
$5 million? That's been Candace's for a little bit of time now. It's like, okay.
We haven't reached that, but we do reach $1 million and have for the last several years. But our goal for this year is 1.6, but I'll take 5.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a taskmaster, aren't you?
Yes.
Where's the golf tournament?
At Hunter Ranch, okay. Here in Paso Robles. Everything local. We try to bring all of our guests to see really what highlights the greatest attributes of Paso Robles. And everybody wants to come back every single year. We do it right. There's a special helicopter drop after the tournament, which is really exciting and fun.
A little ball drop for usually a big 6-liter bottle of Camus. So nowhere in Paso in that, but Camus has been great to us with all kinds mm-hmm. of different auction items, and Austin Hope as well. We've got so many dear friends. Jay Ducey, winemaker of the year.
Right, congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have so many great friends that are in the wine industry. I mean, we could sit here and talk about all of our friends that are winemakers
during harvest. They stop what they're doing and come to our event and help. And that speaks to this community
mm-hmm.
in so many different ways.
Yep.
We got about 30 seconds left. How can people get involved and how can they find out more and all that kind of stuff?
So go to our website, sabeswings.org. Everything is listed there as far as the gala is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Also, we have a car show. If anybody's interested in a car show on, I think it's the 5th of August.
September,
I'm sorry. It's a Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. It's right here in Paso. We're taking over like 3 streets, the Salas, Randy Salas, thank you. Mm-hmm. he's big into cars, and he wants to have about 200 cars out there.
Wow.
So you can check that out on the website as well.
Second annual Sabeswings car show.
Yeah, so you can register there for the car show. Great. Coming up as well. So,
well, thank you both for coming in and sharing all this, and I'll look forward to coming to some of the events.
I love it. Thank you.
Folks, go to Sabeswings, that's S-A-B-E-S, wings, W-I-N-G-S.com. Or is it org?
Org.
All right.
Thanks,
folks,
Barry.
I'll be up back on the other side of the break with Danny Morgan, and get ready for another treat. So stand by.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. This hour's guest is Danny Morgan, owner of Paso Tile and Stone. He loves to sing, by the way, I understand from his commercials. we're going to hear his rags to riches story, how he bootstrapped himself to success. We want to talk a little bit about how he views the local business environment in Slo County in particular, especially when we talk about private economic development. You know, that's a big topic on this show all the time. And then on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about another venture that Danny's involved in called Innova Global Fund. It's about micro lending in Kenya and around the world, and it's such a serious topic that I just got advice that I'm going to have Danny's compliance officer on the show with us after the break. So because they don't trust him to say the right thing.
Exactly. Barry, thank you so much. It's so good to be here. Thank you. What an honor to be here. KPRL has been very good for our business. Mm-hmm. And when you said Paso Tile and Stone, you always have to say where elegance is made affordable right after that, which is better than my first bottle.
Which is what?
Love is grand, but divorce is 50 grand.
Or 50-50.
Yeah, exactly. California law. More compliance.
Well, so anyway, folks, you can call in with questions or comments or text 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Danny, you know, your personal journey from rags to riches. I mean, I don't want it to go to your head, but you're kind of an Horatio Alger story. You grew up on the wrong side of the tracks in Buena Park. Most people have only been to Disneyland
right. In
Buena Park. They don't know that it was and is a bad section of Buena Park. But your father, I think your grandfather, too, were in the stone and tile business, and you kind of got the bug for it. Tell us about how all that happened.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Barry. You know, my dad did tile for 50 years. I started helping him when I was 9 years old. I'm 60 63 now, so do the math. I love this business. I've been doing it a long time. My mom's brother, my uncle, learned from my dad. He started a business called Tile World, the world's largest tile store. That's what he claimed to be. And he went and bought a bunch of junk in Italy, sold it for $5, you know.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of money. And so my dad was a mechanic. He loved to install tile, and I learned a lot from him. And he was an artist. And so I loved doing it since a young age. And then I thought, wait a minute, my uncle's making a lot more money than my dad is. Why don't I do both? Mm-hmm. So I opened a store. And
in Buena Park?
Well, no. I have a store in Costa Mesa right by called Newport Stone, right by Triangle Square, Nike Town down there. And I had the Balboa Bay Club down there. And then I had several stores. San Juan Capistrano, I had stores in Arizona. And then I'll tell you later how I got to Paso Robles.
Yeah. Okay. And then what happened after that? I mean, so were you ever involved in the actual installation of the stone and all that kind
Absolutely,
of stuff?
Absolutely, my whole life.
Oh, really?
Since I was 9 years old, I started grouting, to start making mud. They call that cement in Atascadero. And so we floated all the showers. We did everything proper. So I grew up doing tile my whole life. I thought, well, I could do tile my whole life and never see the world. So I joined the Marines.
Really?
Right out of high school, joined the Marine Corps.
And when was that? What year was that?
1981.
All right. So they were just it was the beginning of the volunteer army.
Way the military. Back before sushi was called bait. Okay. So joined the Marines, got to see the world.
What kind of places did you go?
I went to Okinawa, Japan, Korea, saw the Philippines, saw Hawaii, but I was in Okinawa for 2 years. Mm. And then became a Christian in the Marine Corps. How about that? That never happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then so right out of the Marine Corps, I went to Bible College. Went to Chicago, the Harvard of Bible Institutions, Moody Bible Institute, which is a non-denominational school. So I went there. But my whole life I was doing tile.
Really?
You know, during summers, whatever. And I never got out of that. But I'm a missionary to the contractors.
So how did you end up here in the Central Coast? What was that journey like?
Well, my wife and I, we rode our Harley from Costa Mesa to Paso for our honeymoon. And so we were here for 10 days. Well, it was a Morro Bay. Morro Bay is freezing. What are we doing? So every day we'd ride to Paso. We go, wow, we love Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a referral from somebody in Santa Isabel Ranch. It was a big, huge monster project. Mm-hmm. Took me a year to do it. So I had to rent a house to do the project. And while I was here, I kept getting referrals to do other jobs, wineries, houses, and such. And so I go to these other local tile stores, and these whippersnappers are trying to charge me $7.80 for a tile that I sell for $4.
Hmm.
And I told the guy, I said, look, I can sell you the same tile for $4, drive to Anaheim, tile mile down there, 300 tile stores down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I did a bunch of little showrooms. And I could sell you the same tile for $4, drive to Anaheim, drive back, and still make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, go ahead. I'm like, what? So that made me mad. So I opened a store. Totally Tile goes out of business during COVID.
Right.
You know, they retire. And then so I opened up across the street where Totally Tile used to be.
Hmm.
So so now we've expanded to Templeton. I have a slab yard. We have a granite factory where we fabricate. And then, Barry, you don't know this since I talked to you last, but we expanded on Paso Robles Street, 1101 and 1103, Paso Robles Street, across the street from Site 1.
Okay.
We have two more showrooms there.
Really?
Indoor slab yard, and we have about 250,000 feet of the luxury vinyl in stock, and about 150,000 feet of tile from Italy, from all around the world.
So tell me, how do you, and again, I want to say this nicely, so don't interrupt me yet. How do you compete with the big box stores? And then again, I want to say I don't have anything against big box stores, except when I go to I own stock at Home Depot, but I can never find anything when I go there. But the point is that they employ a lot of people too. Okay, but that being they're good to have in the economy and all that kind of stuff. But how do you compete? What's your big, you know? And again, this is something that all I think entrepreneurs ask themselves. You know, how do you differentiate yourself in the marketplace? How do you what's the word I'm looking for? I guess it's the differentiator. What's your
what sets us apart?
Yeah, what sets you apart?
All right. Now, for compliance reasons, that's why you have to say, you full disclosure, you own stock. The plus thing is, I don't own stock, so I'm going to tell you my heart, my soul, and my liver. Okay. They buy a lot, how do you say it in the modern vernacular, cheap stuff, because they buy containers for super cheap. They sell for super cheap because sometimes it is super cheap. I say sometimes, that's a little disclaimer. There's the asterisk. Because sometimes there's some nice stuff there, mm-hmm. and for your compliance purposes, they do, and they display it well, mm-hmm. objectively speaking. Mm-hmm. But there is a reason why it's super duper cheap, because it is inferior. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff from importing from different countries. Being diplomatic, we don't want to say out loud, but reality is it's inexpensive for a reason. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there's companies out there that, I don't know if I'll get any credit for this, but Dow Tile, I've been buying from Dow Tile since the 60s, before you were born, Barry.
Yeah.
By the way, how's that Geritol work?
It's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But there's a lot of blessings in doing the research. And here's what I appreciate. A lot of people could go to those box stores, but they end up in my store. And I appreciate that, because they're looking for quality. Mm-hmm. They're also looking for experience. Do you think anybody that's been doing tile and stone for 53 years works at Lowe's or Home Depot? Mm-hmm. Oh, I should have said box stores. Sorry about that. No, the answer is no.
Yeah.
But we bring in a lot of experience, and our motto is elegance made affordable for a reason. This is not baloney. We kick everybody's butt on price. We have all these years of buying power, Barry. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've been buying from these companies for years. So, and when you buy bulk, you get a better discount. Mm-hmm. You know, you got pallet discount, you got truckload discounts. So I pass a lot of these discounts on to the contractor. Mm-hmm. I support contractors. These contractors have been working their butts off for 40 years. Why in the world should Mrs. Johnson, forgive mm-hmm. me, Mrs. Johnson, but why is she worthy of getting the same price as a contractor who's been working his butt off for 40 years? Mm-hmm. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. I protect. You have a show called Protecting What Matters. Okay, that's I protect what matters to them. Is mm-hmm. contractors need to make money, and so we protect them. The designer, the developer, all those people in the industry, I protect them. Mm-hmm. We protect them.
All right, and so you, in a lot of regards, so your primary customer, would you say your primary customers are contractors?
No, we have about 40 contractors that regularly buy from us.
Okay.
Thank you, contractors, for doing that. We appreciate you so much. But we have a lot of retail customers, and I never charge retail. I can't even mm-hmm. charge retail. Mm-hmm. It's like me paying minimum wage. I don't even know how to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not nice. So we have a lot of retail customers that walk in mm-hmm. every day. And we track, how'd you hear about us? KPRL. Well, a lot of KPRL.
Kevin will like hearing that.
Yes, a lot of KPRL listeners and drive-by.
So tell me, so we asked you that one. You know, so what, two of the big issues and themes that I touch on quite a bit on Protecting What Matters, and I talk to people like John Pashong about it and other, you know, supervisors and business, you know, government people that come in. Unfortunately, I mean, we have a kind of a problem in this county. Too much of our economy is based on other people's money. Right?
Sir.
And so, I mean, how do you view things right now? I mean, you know, what are you hearing from your contractor clients in particular how are people feeling? How are they feeling?
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. And this is a paradox, Barry, because mm-hmm. reality is we want our neighborhood to be blessed. Mm-hmm. Yet, we don't want people like me transplanting from Orange County to here. So what I don't like about people like me is me, you know? So I've been here almost
I was going to get to that question, but that's, no, I'm just kidding. We all came from somewhere, Danny.
That's true. That's true. But it's a secret that we don't want anybody to expose it. Yet, we want our city to be blessed. Mm-hmm. We want our economy to grow, yet we don't want it to get too crowded. So I was talking to a contractor yesterday, because I knew you were going to ask me this question. And so I asked about it. He is enthusiastically talking about how there is, you know, people sell a house for $2 million in San Jose and come here and they can buy and get a better value. Mm-hmm. And he's enthusiastic and everything. But I'm kind of mixed emotions about that. Because although I want them to buy a used house so I can fix it up and do all the remodeling and everything. That's good for me. But I want what's good for us. Mm-hmm. So that's the paradox. How do we grow our community and bless our community without overcrowding our community?
Right.
So I have the idea. I hope it works, Barry. please affirm me. Why, you know how we say America first?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we say Paso first? Yeah. Why are people going to Bakersfield to buy other products, maybe for a little bit cheaper? It's not even cheaper, by the way, especially at my store.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we buy locally and bless our local businesses?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Why are we going out of our communities so we could save a few cents when it actually hurts our community? That's just one of my ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I have many, but this is only an hour show.
Well, we have time. Share a few more.
Well, I talk to a lot of contractors and developers, and I like the fact that we're growing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing. We're always fearful of the traffic, and you don't even know what traffic is unless you're from Orange County.
No, well.
I used to live in Laguna Beach. I moved from Laguna Beach to here, and I couldn't even drive to Anaheim from Laguna. It would take 3 hours. It's like, that is dumb. That's a bad use of your time. So I'm never leaving. I love it here. This is my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm rooted and grounded in here, and I have a lot of relationships. Customers become friends here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and family, and contractors have been friends. We hang out together. We do things together, and I love the community. So I think all of us as business owners should think about that. How are we going to bless each other and keep it in the family? That's pretty much what I want to say about that.
Okay. What about, it's obvious that we have a downturn in the wine industry.
Yes.
in this area. And I was just talking to somebody, I won't mention who, but he's spending a lot of time pulling grape vines out of the ground for some of the big winery operations. So are you seeing any impact from your perspective on that?
No, but what I'm trying to do, just to practice what I preach, I'm buying more wine. I'm drinking a lot more wine. Just so you know, okay?
you're such a giver.
I know. Someone's got to sacrifice. No, but in my business, I'm shocked at how much traffic we have every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I'm shocked, but I am. We have so many customers deep in our showroom, at our slab yard, where our cabinets are. We are, because we have a location in Templeton as well. We have we have about 100,000 square foot area over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I am not seeing any downturn for my business. I think it's because we have new construction and we have a lot of remodeling going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me ask you this. This is the last one on this, and then we'll move into, I know what you're really anxious to talk about, but... You know, I mean, one of the big areas of job growth in the United States is skilled blue-collar tradespeople.
Yes.
And that's a good thing, because we don't have enough, right?
Right.
And I did a little research. I don't know if you had a chance to look at what I sent you, but it's interesting to me that probably when you take into account student loans and all the stuff and lower wages at the beginning of the career and losing time and, you know, getting a degree in underwater basket weaving.
Right.
You know, and then deciding, what am I going to do? For a lot of people, young people in particular, starting in a trade would be a really, and you started in the trades yourself, and look at you, you know. So what are your thoughts on that? What are you seeing out there?
Well, what I'm seeing is there opportunities, the question that you didn't ask is, what about, how does this affect the AI, right?
Well, okay, right.
In this industry, we're not affected by AI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't do fabrication or tile installation or et cetera with AI. Therefore, and I just put a lot of ads in the paper looking for people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about this market, but I pay really well.
So you have actual installers and things like
that? I do. We have fabricators. We have installers. We have, cabinet installers. We have LVP installers. Well, they're not the same guy. These are specialty mechanics. So I'm asking for people to come and interview, and I'm surprised at the lack of people that come in to interview with me.
Well, it's probably because of the lack of affordable housing in the county.
See?
Yeah.
There's the paradox.
Yeah. Yeah, but, people who are younger can't afford. I mean, I know the hospitality industry, has a hard time finding help because I was talking to Rick Veruni, who runs Allegretto, You know, he's the general manager over there. And it's like, people are, all these service people, even though they make pretty good money, they still have to, like, have roommates or rent a room from somebody. I said to him, I said, have you ever thought about building your own dormitory out in the back of the hotel so you could have your people living there? He said, we've thought about it. We've thought about it. So, yeah. So it's just a shortage of people to do this work, really.
Yeah, we're trying to help the economy here and try to help the people. And I put an ad in the paper, several ads in the paper, general managers, showroom managers, warehouse managers. And I'm interviewing people, and I'm willing to pay. You know, also, you know, there's, we talk about college and people who get a degree and such. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend education. Mm-hmm. Okay, some of these people I interview with, they're not educated. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be super educated. I'll train you. I'm a blue-collar guy. Mm-hmm. With a little white trim. I have white trim, you know. But reality is, education, I highly recommended getting education, but you could do both.
All right. Well, I hear the bumper music. When we return, we're going to talk about micro-lending and what you're doing with Innova. So, folks, stand by. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. I'm visiting with Danny Morgan, Paso Robles Tile and Paso Tile and Stone. You can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. I know we have a guest calling in here shortly, Dan Smith, who's with Innova, and I want to talk about that. But let's take this minute here, Danny, to talk about, you just got back from Freedom Fest. Yes. And I went online and looked at that. And what an interesting-looking program, because it was really like the nexus of conservative thought at some level and free market enterprise. Yeah, there were lectures on Adam Smith and all kinds of economic stuff. And I know you were there representing the Innova thing, but tell us a little bit about Freedom Fest and why other than the fact that you wanted to talk to people about Innova, but what were you doing there?
Oh my goodness, Freedom Fest was amazing. There was people from all over the world.
We got a caller that I asked to call back.
Okay.
Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. You got a question for Danny?
Hey, I wanted to call in and give props to my buddy down there, old Danny, and thank him for, you know, what he's done for me in my contracting business. And I wanted to say that, you know, Danny's one of those guys that goes out of his way to make your job easier for the builder. And I've got a number of projects under my belt with him. He just did a big Taj Mahal outdoor kitchen for me. And I got to tell you that his fabricators, his stone fabricators, they're the best. I could not believe how nice of a job his boys came in and did, and for the price that they did it. So,
well, I want to thank you, Dad. You're right on time. Kidding. It's not my dad. No, that's very nice of you. Thank you, Rob, for saying that. Those kind words. I recognize your voice. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for that's a good testimonial. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.
And also on the line now, we have Dan Smith, who is with Innova. So, Dan, welcome to the show.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing good, and we're gonna sit tight while I finish hearing about Freedom Fest from Danny, and then I want to wade into this topic of micro lending. I actually, you know, I don't know if Danny told you this, but I've been in the insurance business for 50 years, so I'm used to talking to compliance officers, and most of them keep me out of trouble. So I'm happy that you're on the call. So thanks for calling in. All right.
Well, thank you. Thanks, so Dan, much for joining us. Well, we're talking about Freedom Fest.
Yeah, finish that
Freedom
one up.
Freedom Fest was amazing. We had, you know, Steve Forbes was speaking. We had Kennedy was the MC. We had
Kennedy from like the from woman Fox? Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a hoot.
She's a hoot. She's so funny. She looks better in person, by the way.
Yeah.
I can't, hopefully I might.
All right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Stick to the topic.
But all these conservatives spoke, and it was very interesting, very uplifting, very patriotic, all American, feel good about America, and, you know, talking about investments and talking about how to help our country survive and bless our country. And so we had a booth there.
All right.
And we had the greatest booth there. We'll tell you all about it.
All right. Great. So I have two Dan. So Dan and Danny. Dan, I don't know if Danny showed you the research I did on microlending. But actually, I found it to be a very interesting topic. And while I know Inova does a lot of this, most of this microlending in Kenya, it's really not something that is very foreign. I mean, there are microlenders in the United States, some that actually work through the Small Business Administration and so on and so forth. So, and of course, companies like SoFi and what is the other one that advertise? Why Refi?
Yes.
They're all about micro lending on student loan debt. So, I mean, what's your background, Dan, in this area?
Hey, Dan, can I introduce you? Oh, can I introduce Dan? Because this is a great story.
Do I have a choice?
No, you do, but thank you so much for being gracious about it. Here's the blessing about Dan. Okay, I was the second lender in Inova, and this was almost 8 years ago.
Investor.
I was an investor, a lender to...
Okay.
So here's what happened. I was at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. I heard about this. How do we bless people in Kenya? The guy who founded it is named Barry. Dr. Barry is from Kenya. He's a pastor. He's got his doctorate degree in economics. And he invites me to this luncheon.
This is opposed to Rabbi Barry, which many people call me, actually.
Thank you, Rabbi. So shalom to you. Well, I go to this meeting. I'm the second lender, and so now I'm excited about this, that we get to bless people out of poverty and help them grow their small businesses in Kenya. Mm-hmm. So now I go to this conference in San Diego. I'm brand new and as a lender. I'm all excited. I'm on fire. In comes Dan Smith. Dan Smith walks down the hall. I grab him and tell him, hey, sir, do you know anything about microfinance? In microlending, can I tell you more about it? He is all excited. Tell us the story, Dan.
Basically, I told him all about microlending in the fact that it benefits 2/3 of it benefits women worldwide, that it's the largest in Asia, but it's growing, you know, leaps and bounds in all continents, and that, you know, a large population around the world rely on these microloans for everything from personal to business. And he was shocked. I was the first person to ever answer his question.
Yes, indeed.
So tell us, you know, and I'm looking at your FAQ on the website, so I will be able to test to see how compliant you are. tell us, what is it? So tell us, give us the background on Inova Global Fund.
Yeah, so Inova Global Fund actually started this year out of Positivity Lending. Now, and Positivity Lending was our private fund that we had for a number of years that started the microfinance program in cooperation with our Kenyan partnership, which is AfriCash Limited and Afresa Saco. So these names are our African entities, and these were our microfinance programs exist in Africa. So sometimes we've actually had people go look for Inova or Positivity and go, well, I don't see you in Kenya. I go, well, no, that's not the names we operate under. These are our Kenyan-based companies. So anybody can look up, you know, AfriCash and Afresa Saco and definitely see our African side of our business and actually the types of microloans that we provide, which is a really good source of education if somebody wants to learn a little bit about what microfinance is in Africa. On Inova's side, we basically became too big because of the opportunity that we were giving people this, a nice opportunity to earn a nice return and also have an impact investment, an investment that actually, you know, it gets to people on the street. Many times when you're investing in stocks, mutual funds, whatever, do you really know where your money goes? I mean, we hear of these CEOs getting these big luxury lots and, you know, and yachts and planes and, you know, mega mansions. And, you know, our CEOs are putting everything back into the company. We're about people. And a social impact investment is truly about understanding your investment is really making a social impact, whether it's in the United States or around the world. And that is the beauty of what Inova Global Fund is. We're a social impact investment. Now, currently, ANOVA Global Fund does operate as a Reg D 506C.
Okay, stop. This is getting too deep right now. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I want to back up. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
So I actually, because this is the way I am, I actually did some research on the government in Kenya. Because I think of Kenya. I mean, and I think our president basically describe countries like Kenya pretty well, you know, and I won't say what he said, but I mean, it's a poor African nation, but it's relatively democratic. I mean, they have a their government structure is fairly, you know, akin to ours, you know, that it's representative government. I mean, I guess they have elections, and so it's they're trying to make it into. Whoops, we lost Dan. Dan, call back. So as I was saying, Danny, you know, it's a fair. I mean, I know you're going to be going there in a few months as well.
Going October.
Yeah, but I mean, so explain. So in many regards, what happens here is that this country, I mean, they're trying to become at least second world at this point. There's Dan back.
Yeah.
Hi, Dan. Sorry about that. You got disconnected. But I didn't disconnect you. But we're just talking a little bit about the government in Kenya and that it's relatively stable and relatively democratic. And it's a country that is trying to at least move into the second world, and this is a way for people that are very poor to get small amounts of money to be able to make something that they can sell, like Danny does tile. Right.
Well, that's a good segue, Barry, because reality is over there, $100 is like a month's salary for them. So we loan them $50. That's 2 weeks' salary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back to the $100. My favorite analogy is a fruit stand. And they have their street vendors there. They're mm-hmm. just trying to make a living. You give them $100, that's inventory. Now they have 6 fruit stands. Their whole family is working. They're making income. Mm-hmm. And then we created a credit union over there. Mm-hmm. We have 20 locations already. Our goal is 100 locations mm-hmm. within the year, and which is a blessing for them. So now they have access to money.
Mm-hmm.
A mechanic needs $50 for.
I got it.
Okay,
I got the picture. So what I was fascinated about is how the micro loans are delivered to the consumer.
Yes.
In Kenya, and I don't know who wants to answer this question, and then how the repayment works. And what's the actual cost of money for these people? Because, and I know it's going to sound horrifying to our listeners, but when you look at your credit card statement that you get,
right?
If you borrow money from your credit card company, that's a pretty horrifying amount too. So put it in that perspective. So,
right.
So I don't know who wants to answer this, but yeah, I mean, I was very fascinated with the really high tech way that this money is delivered to the consumer.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I've been to Kenya multiple times. So when I go to Kenya, they in many ways are more advanced than we are here in America, because every Kenyan uses a digital wallet called M-Pesa.
Mm-hmm.
And since 2007, this is the way the average Kenyan has been transacting money from a regular cell phone. We're not even talking an Android phone, because these are flip phones, standard mobiles. And so when they borrow money, everything is done digitally.
Mm-hmm.
They borrow using a text number. They can text to that. It asks how much. They request it. If they have good credit, they will get that amount. If they are a new borrower, they're going to get less. If they're part of a certain consortium, they're going to get a very low interest rate on that loan. If they're brand new, they're going to pay the higher amount till they start showing that they have a good repayment record.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole goal is to bring these micro borrowers into the credit union so that they can be formally banked and part of the formal financial institutions mm-hmm. of Kenya. And that's our goal. And microfinancing is the way. But they are very advanced. Actually, when I'm in Kenya, I got a bunch of shillings. I pull out shillings. They go, no, no, no shillings. M-Pesa. I had to put money on my phone to spend money in Kenya.
Yeah, yeah.
I use a digital wallet here in America.
And again, just to, you know, put a bigger picture on this, again, in my research, I discovered countries like India are huge in this kind of, you know, digital currency, and also the micro lending. There's a whole bunch of countries that are doing this. So it's
it might
sound foreign to us, but I think with cryptocurrency, I had a couple of guys on talking last week about cryptocurrency and you know the what is it called, stablecoin. And I mean, we're all heading in this direction, basically.
Well, let me tell you, Barry, this is the how we are distinguished from all others. And Dan's going to jump in about this too. But right now, and I want to talk about your previous guest. You know, Brett came in, Saber Higgins, and they talked about how we could bless them. And this is a great way. And I'm going to introduce it. If you had a lot of business owners are listening to this radio station right now as we speak. If any one of these business owners had 350,000 customers a day, do you think they would know how to plan their retirement? Okay, or generational wealth? Mm-hmm. Of course they would. 350,000 customers a day. That's what we have at Enova that goes to us and wants to borrow money every single day. 350,000 customers. So if you knew that, and you know that our investment, if you could make an investment into Enova that we could fund the Saber Higgins, that would be a blessing. How you do that? With an endowment. Mm-hmm. Instead of spending your retirement and spending all your money, like a lot of us are getting older. I'm 63. Okay, so if you could talk a little louder,
you're a mere sprout compared to me.
Well, the blessing is for my kids and my grandkids are set for life because of Enova. Mm-hmm. And I'm a doofus tile guy who got involved with this, who has generational wealth, and I'm telling everybody. This is, people come in my store, I said, you want to hear a real blessing? And I tell them about Enova every single day, or every one of my customers. So if they could open up an account with them, you can have an endowment towards, you know, the Saber Higgins, for example, and for other different ministries. And instead of spending your retirement, you could make monthly payments and live on the income of your investment into Enova.
Okay. So, but to be an investor, and this is going back to our compliance officer here, so be calm here, Danny.
Okay.
So, again, not everybody should consider this. Who is a... You have to be a qualified investor to be... to go into the Enova program or programs like Enova. So what is it to be an accredited investor?
Yeah, the accredited investor is simply somebody that a business or an individual has a net worth of $1 million in retirement, or if they're making $200,000 a year in annual salary. So the requirements are not extremely large, and there are probably many people that don't realize they are actually accredited investors because of certain qualifications. They just don't realize they are. And that's something, a basic questionnaire we can, you know, help somebody if they're not sure. But it's pretty simple, but we do have to require that this year. Next year, we will allow anyone to participate in Enova because we will have a new fund available for that.
Okay. And so it'll be small for smaller investors is what you're saying.
Yes. As the SEC classifies retail investors. So we will allow more individuals to come back into the program in 2027. We are working on that right now. We're pushing our attorney.
Okay.
The sooner the better for us, because we know it'll open up this opportunity for a lot more people.
And for listeners who have an interest in this, I you know, because again, Danny may be selling something here, but I'm not selling something because I don't do investments for people. But the point is that, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, to me, it was very an interesting topic. And I suggest, you know, you're going to want to go to Enova. What's your website? What's the website again? Enova.
It's Enova GF. So it's InnovaGF.com.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
And they can learn all about it. We have testimonials up there. They could connect with, want to have a demo, you know, have a presentation to learn. Just connect with us there, and we will definitely be glad to let us know that they heard it on your radio station, because we definitely want to let you know the outreach that you have.
That's great. But yeah, and again, what I wanted to mention was you have a very extensive FAQ on your website, which answers a lot of questions that people might have. So just before we go into break, which is going to be about a minute, give us an idea, Dan, of the types of investments that people you know, how much, what's the minimum investment and what would they expect to get from that?
Our minimum investment to come in is $5,000. You'll earn a 12% annual return. And then at $50,000, an annual return. So it's pretty.
You just cut out, Dan. You just cut out there for a second.
I'm sorry. Again, it's a 12% return at $5,000 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's three times what a CD is. Mm-hmm. And then it's a hold of 12 or 13 months. And then a 13-month hold at $50,000 will earn you 24%.
Mm-hmm. And do you have anything else you want to add to that, Danny, before
I
we
do,
go into...
I do.
Yeah, you got about, ten seconds.
As we speak right now, I'm probably helping 10,000 people get out of poverty. That's a huge honor for me. And by the way, I'm making those percentages.
Yeah. Well, that's a hell of a testimonial. So when we return, we're going to be coming up on a break here. I see the clock, so I don't want to start a new topic because this is a very interesting one. So when we return, I want to talk a little bit about, just ask some more questions from Dan about, you know, just some more of the details. And if anybody wants to call in and ask any questions about this opportunity, please give us a call at 805-238-5775. Dan, I'm going to put you on hold here for about 3 minutes, okay? So stand by.
Sounds good.
Folks, I will be right back. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Danny Morgan of Paso Tile and Stone and Dan Smith of Innova Global Fund. Call or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Before we wrap up today's show, I just wanted to let the listeners know, all of my listeners, that I'm going to be taking a six-week summer sabbatical. I'll be back on air September 1st. I'm already working on a guest lineup for September. So I will be back. Eric will be sitting in for me along with maybe Darsha, and Kevin will, of course, will always have alternate programming when one of us can't be behind the microphone for you. So I'm planning to spend a bunch of time at the fair this year, which I missed last year. And go to a few concerts, and so if I see you, I'll buy you a beer. Danny's going to be following me all over the fair.
I'm going to buy you a beer. We're going to miss you, Barry. But have fun on your sabbatical.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
Thank you. So it's been a good 4-year run here of being on the air, but we need a little break. So we'll be doing that. So it'll be a bearless few weeks. All right. So before we go on, Dan, I know that Danny is chafing at the bit here to talk about the kind of impact these loans have for the people in Kenya. But are there any other compliance issues, any other disclosure issues that you'd like to make before we turn this over to Danny?
No, the beauty is that we're pretty straightforward. You can read our filing if you want. Get the numbers from the website. We probably have a link to the agri-finance, so people can understand and trust that we are SEC registered. We're filing all the rules and regulations. But the social impact is really what is the most powerful, and that's what I got to see multiple times. I interview our borrowers. I'm the man on the street in Africa, and it's so awesome to see the impact, because some of these people I've been able to interview and watch their growth over the last few trips that I've made. And I've met everyone from a lady who started making, who by herself 4 years ago made coffins. Now she's got 8 employees, expanded and buying out the side of the space next to hers to expand her operations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all due to us, you know. The Boda Boda driver, Freddie, you can see his testimony on our website.
What is a Boda Boda?
A Boda Boda is a motorcycle taxi. Now, everybody asks me if I have ridden one of those, and I go, heck no.
Their Federal Express, their DoorDash is all on mopeds.
Really?
So they borrow
money. They have
money.
DoorDash in Kenya?
Well, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you on the back of a motorcycle, no lie, a guy will have 8 feet wide of wood hanging off the back, and I literally shudder the type of accidents they had. I mean, we've seen guys, you know, 3 or 4 people on a bike just to save money on the ride. It's just astonishing.
You know, Dan, when we were at Freedom Fest, and the social impact, people want to make a difference, Barry, in this world. They do. The people with money. There's a lot of places to put their money. But when we said that we're a Reg D 506C, they lit up, because now they know that we're going to be above reproach with compliance. and they make a social impact, mm-hmm. and they can make money on their money. That's a win-win. So how many opportunities do we talk about that's a win-win? Now, you talked about SoFi or Wi-Fi.
Why refi?
Now, if you see those commercials, and I like Larry Elder. You know, I like him a lot. But reality is, if you look at his rates for 5 years, Dan, these are more than double immediately, okay? So it takes 5 years for you to get those rates from those guys.
But what kind of default rate, Dan, do they experience on this stuff, on these loans?
Yeah, so what we have in Kenya is we have a 93% on-time repayment rate.
Really?
These are 30-day microloans. So 7% of our people do not pay within that first 30 days. About 50% pay within the next 30 days, and then half of that. So we end up with an actual, overall in the year, with a less than 1% loss on our total losses on microloans. And the main reason why is because of the digital wallet.
Hmm.
If you don't pay us back, your wallet's flagged. You cannot go get another loan. In America, you can get, what, 3, 4, 5 credit cards before they chase you down.
Hey.
But in Kenya, one bad loan can stop you from getting another.
And really, because they probably don't have the liberal bankruptcy laws that we have in the United States.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So they have an army of Guidos going out and for finding the bad loans.
Culturally, they don't want to lose face. No, we don't care about losing face anymore here, but they do.
Yeah,
this would work in America.
And
plus,
it's a digital wallet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use that digital wallet to pay. So
yeah.
Flag, if you're a bad borrower, you're not going to get another loan. So that's what really keeps the society in a better payment overall. Now, there are, you know, loans where the banking sector actually is having a bigger problem of a non-payment than the microfinance sector.
Okay, Dan, there's a couple things I want to say, but I don't think I can. How much are we doing per month in loans?
We do over in Africa, we're doing about $125 million a month in microfinance loans.
Wow. What's the average loan amount?
$19. So that means we're doing between 6 and 7 million loans a month.
And can you imagine all the people that Danny could sell stone and tile to?
Oh my!
If he opened up stores in what is it, Nairobi?
Well, here's the Barry. You're right. Their testimony is our testimony.
Yeah. Well, listen, Dan. Thanks for calling in and giving us the compliance scoop on this.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah,
and Danny. Thank you for coming in. We'll do this again after September 1st. I'm exhausted. I'm just exhausted, all right?
Folks, thank you, Barry, so much for bringing us down today.
Thank you. Thank you both. And, folks, I'll look forward to seeing you at the fair and be back behind the microphone on September 1st. So thanks so much. Have a great summer vacay.
You too.